Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer, and I'm one of your co-hosts today. I am excited to be here with Shannon Abram, my fellow co-host, and we're here with good friend, longtime member, Nigel Fortledge from GHY International. Hi, Nigel.
Hello there.
Nigel, we would love if you could take a moment, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about where you work, and a little bit about the kinds of communities that you work with.
Sure. So, Nigel Fortledge, I'm the Vice President of IT and Social Business. That's a recent change, which was surprising to see the organization mature to the point of recognizing that social business requires executive-level leadership. So I'm excited to own the helm of that and bring it forward. Formerly, it was an informal role with the organization. The organization's GHY International. We're kind of new to the business world. We've been around since 1901. We're still a family-owned company, fourth-generation family, that manages the organization today. And we've grown over the years. I'm in my 20-something year with the organization, and we're now breaching over 150 associates in five different offices separated between Canada and the United States. Our focus in the business world is really as a professional intermediary in people's supply chains. So we're a customs broker international trade consultancy, and our clients are those companies that buy and sell goods internationally. So when we look at the space associated with social business and communities, it's a business-to-business marketplace that we're looking at. And really our focus to date has been on developing, and we're in the creation phase after a lot of thought has gone into the creation of our first major internal community that we're looking to launch very, very soon. We have historically in our workings and learnings with the CR group really focused on our external market presence and awareness, what we can learn on how to do that, how to do it better, and also to educate ourselves on what it really means to live out this world of being a digital business, being that everybody talks about digital everything these days. It's a matter of how we embody it, and it was intriguing for me to see the merger of the technology piece of the one side of what I'm working on, the digital experience that I'm working on in my social business role, and the evolution of our internal cultural development of where I play the role as a cultural champion, how they're all coming together in the same thing, which was focus and build an internal community that helps the organization be a better organization, or as we like to put it, that we want to be an employer of choice for those that wish to enter our market.
Right, right. I'm really interested in your perspective on how things have changed. So a little background, you reached out to us, it looks like almost 6 years ago, a little over mm-hmm. 6 years ago, actually. And I'm just wondering how things have changed in the community and community management space from your perspective over that time.
Well, I think probably the biggest thing that's really happened, again, 6 years, it's almost a lifetime, is the evolution of community as a word that was probably not clearly understood to today being recognized as a profession, and to see everything that's built up around it. And I personally would believe that the Community Roundtable organization has played a large part in bringing that expertise and depth to, you know, the industry, simply because they've been curating every aspect of the role and the development and the knowledge over the 6 years that I've been fortunate to be a member.
That's fascinating. It's been such a long time, and it's so interesting that you have such a long view on, you know, both the role and the industry. I know that you're working through a multi-channel communication strategy right now, and we had talked a little bit about it. I would love if you could share some advice for anyone out there working through a similar challenge.
Yeah, it's, you know, I guess the buzzword that everybody uses these days is omni-channel, and really looking at it. I use the phrase multi-channel because most folks that are talking in an omni-channel presence typically are dealing with either a retail experience, as I said previously, we're a business-to-business experience, or that they're actually trying to cover the entire kind of gamut in terms of the channels of which you may normally communicate if you're in that space. And if you are, it's quite wide and broad. In our case, it covers all of the traditional stuff that you would expect people to do in terms of, you know, advertising and how you get your communication out kind of old school way, right into all of the digital space, which today involves things like Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Google+, etc. But it is not wholly encompassing to say that it's a Facebook strategy or it's a LinkedIn strategy, etc. So the first thing in offering advice that certainly I learned early on is a true digital strategy, social business strategy, community strategy, whichever kind of phrase you want to wrap to it, really is about, it's not a platform strategy. So it's not a Facebook strategy. It's not a LinkedIn. Those are the channels which you use. And as we've seen historically, and unfortunately I've got enough gray hairs that I remember iterations before that. I remember the dot-com boom and bust. And, you know, there was networks that made Facebook look small in terms of membership, et cetera, that don't exist anymore. You know, MySpace that came before Facebook. People know of it and think of it, but they certainly don't think of it as a dominant network. Those are simply just channels. The channels will change. The strategy should not be related to the channel. It should be related to the outcomes that you're dealing with. And that kind of brings up the second point, is focusing on the outcomes that you're working towards. They're not feel-good things. They have to be real business deliverables. And real business deliverables, to be clear, does not mean financial ROI. It could be a relation to customer satisfaction. It could be related to brand recognition. It could be related to brand reputation, and hopefully improving or changing that. It could actually deal with customer acquisition, but it could also deal with customer retention. So trying to learn where you're coming from as an organization and being clear about what you're wanting to achieve by really using these channels to interact with your audience. And whether it's an internal audience or an external audience, it's an audience. And really, it's about relationships and communication. And that's why I'm always hesitant to kind of go to the ROI piece. I could see where it fits into very much a retail and certainly some other sectors. But in a business-to-business, relationships are king. And so getting the relationships right and maintaining and building upon that, for me, is really where the power in a true digital omnichannel approach is what we kind of look at. So, those are some of the things that you want to look at. There's many other things that get into internally what the organization needs or how it's trying to achieve things that you have to look at. In our particular case, culture. That's not something you immediately think about when you think of business, or you think of, well, I'm going to build a community because I want to work on our culture as an organization. But when you think about it, the words we might use to describe a healthy community also, for many cases, describes a healthy organization, the healthy culture of an organization. And so therefore, I have been fortunate enough as a cultural champion within the organization to see this marrying of the way to accomplish some of the goals associated with a good, positive, healthy, intentional culture, as we like to refer to it, can be delivered through the evolution of community. And those are not the common things that you see, but certainly that is where we've been spending our time learning, developing, and now trying to bring into reality that world.
So I love your answer there, and I love that you talked a little bit about ROI, because my next question, I think, is going to be tied into that, because the next area I want to kind of dive into is executive engagement. And you're one of those rare executives who had the vision to see this as critical very early on and jumped in with both feet. And I'm just wondering, for a lot of our listeners who are trying to either A, find someone like you in their organization, or B, really get someone excited, get an executive excited about social technologies. Can you give advice on how to get them engaged, how to get them really, really excited about social tools?
Yeah, it's well, I mean, thank you for the recognition of the effort. I can tell you that it was probably 90% by accident, 10% on purpose. the reality and outcome of the process is, again, it really goes back to defining the business value. So let me, by way of answering your question, let me share with you a short story that relates to how we got to where we are. And hopefully through that, I'll make the connection for you. So as an organization, it was about 2009. We were sitting there figuring, okay, the economy's in a slump, the whole bit. The sales funnel isn't where we want it to be. We need to figure out a different way to ensure that the sales funnel doesn't feel as empty as it was. And the reality was, we went through everything. I was involved in projects analyzing the expansion of the sales force, looking at sales agents, the distribution of offices, and the creation of new offices into new geographies in order to secure it, and the whole bit. And we finally landed on this idea of social business, social media, as people refer to. And, well, what can we do with it? And that leads you through, well, what can you do with it? What do we do? Well, we're business to business. I'm retail. I'm not a retailer. I don't have a direct-to-consumer model. I don't have a sales special or something else. I got this dry government clearing borders stuff. Okay, you got to figure out that you got to develop something to think about. And that led to a whole set of exercises where we actually started with a premise of writing a book. And the book led to, well, we got to write chapters of the book, and, well, what are we going to write about? What are we going to talk about? Why do people even care? And it has just literally evolved out of the question that I started with into how we execute. And now we're in our seventh white paper that we've written. Each represents literally the chapter of a book. The intent is to pull it together, to still publish a book later on. I've become a research partner in publishing of the papers, which is not something that fits with the title and what you deal with, but it was the level of involvement and direction to deal with it. And pretty much the way we communicate and share this is online. So why do we do what we do? We do it because there was a grander purpose, a business outcome that we had defined and understood was why we were going to put all this time and effort and money into going down this path. And the evolution of the cultural component and the internal community that I've talked about came as a result of a whole bunch of this work, because along the way, we decided that we need a new website. The new website, we had to define our why, Simon Sinek, find your why. And so we went through that exercise and we defined our why. And our culture didn't align to our why. So that came in, and it's like, well, okay, well, hang on. I know something about this and how we need to do it. And that brought, well, how do we live out the values of a culture and to be open and transparent? And hang on, how about an internal community where we can do some of this stuff? And it just came full circle in terms of why and how we connect the dots, how you get in there. So hopefully from that, the piece is you really have to sit down with those leaders and kind of ask them, what's their pain point? What are they trying to do? Some of it might be in the company's strategic documents. Hopefully, your organization has some that you can refer to. Certainly, for many, many years, we didn't. And for as long as I've been a leader of the organization, we have intentionally been documenting kind of our goals, our rationale, et cetera, so that everybody has a touch point to go back to. And if you're asking the question, okay, well, that sounds really good, that's airy-fairy, how do you do it? How do you find that out? It's simple enough to say that you end up, talking with folks to kind of find out their pain point. The question, well, how do you kind of really get them engaged? And I'll share with you one tidbit of advice that I was given in terms of how to create better connections, even amongst leaders with other leaders in the organization. And that was simply, I make an intentional point once a month to get together, and whether we go for a coffee, a lunch, whatever, and the question simply is, what's on their mind and what are they struggling with, to figure out where can I help them. And once they start doing that, you start to become a partner. And when you get a partner, you gain trust. And when you gain trust, they open up more. And that helps you understand what the real pain points are that you go in with. So you're not trying to sell something, a grand vision, a pet project, etc. You are trying to bring to the table some real methodology, some real approach that will help them solve the greater problems of the organization. And by doing so, you may have an opportunity to actually help transform the organization by doing that.
That's so great. I love the idea of helping someone approach, you know, getting them to do the thing you need, but couching it in, this is how it's going to help you, and this is how it's going to help the organization. It's such great advice. So we just have a couple of minutes left. And our last question, and we love to ask this question, is what is your community superpower?
Community superpower. Well, if I truly had any community superpower, probably the closest I have is that I have the ability to see into the future. I've been very fortunate and lucky, and again, I think my gray hairs give me that experience. But at the end of the day, what I found is I've been very good at understanding the ecosystem of both business and technology, but now the ecosystem through the community roundtable of community, and how you can bridge the two together through the power of community to bring them together. And it has really allowed me to, I talk to my team in circles so that I actually start to share, if you will, an ecosystem of understanding with folks so they can start to see how the one piece over here might be related to this piece and to that piece and ultimately how it comes together in a full supportive cycle. And that's really just come through time and maturity that I've been fortunate enough to build it. Not to say that I'm right every time. My wife would tell you I'm definitely not right every time. But certainly when it comes to business, I've been very fortunate that I seem to have a good handle on being able to look into the future and start thinking about what we need to do, where we need to be, why we need to be there. And that's really, Simon Sinek had it right. You must find the why in everything you're going to do. When you find the why, it makes all the other parts much, much easier.
Great advice to close on. Nigel, thank you so much for taking the time today. This has been a breath of fresh air for me, for sure.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. And thank you for the Community Roundtable and for 6 amazing years. I'm looking forward to many more.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nigel. And for everyone out there listening, stay tuned for another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. Thanks.